world to world. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. Not long ago, I asked you whether you would ever stop to really prove whether God exists. And also, whether you had ever seen absolute proof, one way or the other, of whether the Holy Bible is the divinely inspired revelation of such a God. Can you prove it? Did you ever prove it? Is there any proof? Have you seen the proof? Now, I offered you at that time, without cost to you, a booklet titled, Does God Exist? We shouldn't take things like that for granted. If you believe in God, you ought to know whether there is a God to believe in, and you ought to be able to prove it. Does the Bible contain authority, or is it just the wishy-washy writings of some ancient ignorant people and Jews groping about in the darkness searching for some kind of an idea of God? People that were ignorant and superstitious that hadn't developed very far, but yet it was their best literature. Is that what it was? Or is it a message? Is it divine inspiration? Is it the very revelation of the eternal God of knowledge that you do not know otherwise and could not otherwise find out? Well, I was talking to the minister of a large church in a certain city one time, and he made the remark, "We are a New Testament church." "Well, why?" I asked. "Do you mean by that you do not use the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament part of the Bible?" He replied that that was exactly what he meant. "Why, the Old Testament scriptures," he said, "they're just for the Jews." And you know, many people right here in our own country in the United States of America are bewildered on that very point. Many wonder if they ought to be using the Old Testament scriptures at all. Occasionally someone will remark in surprise, "Why, he preaches out of the Old Testament." And I think usually with a degree of criticism. Did you ever notice the people going to Sunday school or to church on a Sunday morning? Did you ever notice that if they carry any scriptures or Bible of any kind with them at all, that most of them just have a New Testament or a New Testament with the Psalms? Well, at another time, a young man who had been a student in a Bible college for a couple of years came to me and he confessed, "I'm all mixed up. I'm frustrated. After all this Bible study that I've been going through in Bible school, I suddenly wake up to realize that I'm not sure that Jesus of Nazareth, who lived 1,900 years ago, really was the Christ." When I opened up his Bible to a certain Old Testament scripture, and then I began, and out of the Old Testament scriptures, I opened them up to him, and he found positive, satisfying proof that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Well, I'm going to show you now a part of what I opened up to him in his Bible. Some have gained the idea that Christians should never read the Old Testament at all. Many seem to believe that all that part of the Bible was done away, that it was only for the Jewish people of long, long ago, that its message is dead today. So let's examine that question. First, let me just remind you, there must be a contradiction in the New Testament, then, if that's so, because you read in the New Testament that holy men of old speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and that the word of the eternal endureth forever. So apparently it isn't done away, it endures today, it endures forever. And recently, I think most of you will remember that I've been showing you that the livest news in your home is not today's newspaper, because that's reporting the news that happened either earlier today or yesterday or last week. That news has already happened. It's dead already. But in your Bible, and very primarily, I might say, in the Old Testament, are prophecies that are forecasting news that is yet to happen tomorrow and next day, next year, and 5, 10, 20 years from now. And about one-third of all of the Bible is prophecy. And there is perhaps more prophecy written in the Old Testament than in the New, although there is prophecy in both the Old and the New Testament. And it is news, and it's the livest news that you have, because it's news before it happens. It is tomorrow's news headlines written out before they even occur. Well, let's look into this question. Certainly the New Testament church, the Church of God, is the New Testament church, yes. Now suppose, first of all, we look at the very foundation of the true Christian church. I want you to notice in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse. Now, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to those who were Gentile born, now converted as Christians. Now therefore ye, said the Apostle Paul to the church, ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now who are the prophets? Who with the apostles and with Christ then formed the very foundation of the New Testament church? There's the foundation on which the New Testament church is based. My friends, if you're getting some different foundation, you must have a different kind of a church. And if any man rejects the foundation and says, oh no, I won't build on that foundation, he's building on something else than the sure foundation, then he does not have the Christian church or the church of God, which is the name of the Christian church, because he has a different kind of a church based on a different kind of a foundation. Now, who are the prophets? Well, Moses was a prophet. David was a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Joel, Daniel, Zechariah, Malachi, they were all prophets. You know that the Apostle Paul, and if anybody accepts the New Testament scriptures and wants to reject the old, they certainly will acknowledge the Apostle Paul as the inspired writer of the New Testament. And yet the Apostle Paul himself said to the Gentile-born Christians that their church was founded on the foundation of these prophets. Now Jesus Christ is the founder of the New Testament church. He is the chief cornerstone of the very foundation of it, of the true Christian church, the true church of God. And Jesus Christ was sent from God as the messenger of the new covenant, not the old covenant, but the new covenant. And yet, do you know, my friends, that Jesus Christ preached his gospel message entirely out of the Old Testament scriptures? You know, the Apostle Paul did mostly also, and that may be news to most of you, but it's a fact. Now, in John, the 5th chapter, and the 39th verse, Jesus said this, search the scriptures, or a margin is, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And, listen, and they, the Old Testament scriptures that he was talking about, they are they which testify of me. They are they which testify of me. Yes, my friends, the Old Testament scriptures, ending with Malachi and prior to the book of Matthew in your Bible, they testify of Jesus Christ. And you know that you cannot prove that Jesus of Nazareth, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, without the Old Testament scriptures. Otherwise, you're taking it for granted. You have no proof. You have to use the Old Testament scriptures if you're going to prove any foundation of Christ as Savior, of Christ as the chief cornerstone of the very foundation of the New Testament church. Now, if we are definitely to establish and to prove beyond doubt that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, we must prove it by bringing him through the door of the Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies proving him to be the divine Son of the living God, because, as he said, they testify of me. Now, notice further what Jesus preached during his earthly ministry, the 46th and the 47th verses, the 5th chapter of John, that's John 5, verses 46 and 47. He said, do not think that I accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He said this now to the Pharisees. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? And I wonder, my friends, I would say to the pastor of the New Testament church that says, oh no, we don't use the Old Testament scriptures, and that teaches his people that, how can you believe Christ? If you believe not Moses' writings, how can you believe Christ's words? Those are the very words of Jesus Christ himself to the doubting Pharisees. And I wonder sometimes if we don't have some modern Pharisees today that need to have a Jesus Christ here to call them liars and whitened sepulchers and hypocrites and some of the things that Jesus Christ did call the Pharisees of his day. Now, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, the part which has often been referred to as the law. And Jesus said, if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Well, Moses wrote a lot of prophecy, too. He was one of the prophets. Moses said that the Eternal, your God, shall raise up another prophet, a prophet unto you like unto me, and him shall ye hear. Moses was the mediator of the Old Covenant, Jesus Christ of the New. And so, in a sense, Moses was even the type of Christ. But Moses was just a human man, and Christ was the divine Son of the living God.
But can you prove it?
Well, let's go along and see if we have any proof here. Now, if we today cannot know and believe the things that Moses wrote to be true, how can we believe Christ's words? They are as much a part of the Holy Scriptures as those that were quoting our Lord himself. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus, we find this example of Jesus preaching recorded in Luke 24 and verses 25 on to 27. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That, my friends, is the way Jesus Christ preached. Beginning in the writings of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I wonder, is that the way people preach Christ today? Well, it ought to be. I hope it is. It certainly ought to be. In proving his claim to Messiahship, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ expounded to them in all the scriptures, that's the Old Testament, remember, the things concerning himself. My friends, unless we know what those things written in the Old Testament are, unless we can bring Christ in through the Old Testament scriptures, we cannot prove that Jesus was the Christ. Now, how did Philip of Bethsaida know that Jesus was the Christ? I want you to listen. John, in the first chapter, in the 45th verse, Philip findeth Nathanael, and he saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's how he knew. He had read it in the Old Testament. Now I want you to turn over to Acts, the third chapter, 22nd, on to the 24th verses, and notice how Peter preached Christ and his gospel. Quote, For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet referring to Christ shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. End quote. And the scripture that Peter quoted is found in Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and 18. That, my friends, was the Apostle Peter's New Testament preaching. And some people think he was the very first leader of the New Testament church. Well, what are some of the Old Testament prophecies which prove that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah? Let me say right here, my friends, I notice today a number of different movements directed to preaching Christ, even to the Jewish people. But you have no more chance of reaching the Jewish people today if you try to preach Christ to them by throwing away the Old Testament and armed only with the New Testament writings about Jesus Christ than, well, I think someone might be selling about an ice brick of some kind that's an Eskimo up in Alaska somewhere. You would just have no chance whatsoever. Well, first I want you to notice now in Isaiah, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, Isaiah 7, verse 14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the marginal reference shows you that that is God with us. Emmanuel is, meaning translated, God is with us. God in the human flesh. God converted, changed into mortal human flesh for the purpose of death so that he could die. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. That is in the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah. Now I want you to notice the virgin was to bear a son. And the name of this son, born as a baby, to grow up to manhood, was to be Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. Now the fulfillment of that prophecy is recorded in the New Testament in the book of Matthew, the first chapter, and the 20th on to the 23rd verses. Now you know the story, I think, if you know your New Testament. Joseph had married Mary. And he found that Mary was pregnant and about to be the mother of a baby. And it was before, it says in the scripture, in plain language, before they had come together. Well, he naturally suspected her of being a fornicatress. And then the angel said that this was from no human man, that no human man was the father of this baby that is to be born, The angel of the Eternal appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, not of mortal man. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now, let's continue on. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's in the New Testament, in Matthew, the first chapter, the 20th on to, and including the 23rd verse. Now I want you to read right along Matthew, the second chapter, and the first four verses, if you will. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and I've been there and seen where Jesus was born, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard of these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now why, my friends? How could the chief priests and the scribes know where Christ would be born? How would they know? How would they know anything about a Messiah? I'll tell you why. Because it was written in the prophecy of their scriptures. Continue now, verses 5 and 6. And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written by the prophet. And here they're quoting from Micah, the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, as your marginal reference will tell you. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, that is, a ruler, a man who is to rule over kingdoms and governments, a governor who shall rule my people Israel. Now I want you to notice it, back here, Micah, chapter 5, and verse 2, and here it is, But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, that is, the thousands of towns in Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that which is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting, or from ancient time, from everlasting, the one who has always existed, to be born of a baby. There it was, prophesied in the Old Testament. My friends, unless those Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled, then you cannot prove Jesus was really the Christ.